The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad that it's back to normal here at the seminary this week. Not only are the holidays over, but so too our symposium week and the Right to Life March on the weekend. Now, I'm assuming that having the DMin students here is a part of normal. At least for me it is. Now I and you can finally settle back to our ordinary routine. As someone once said, variety may be the spice of life, but monotony is the main course. So here we are at the main course again, and it feels kind of good. But whether or not getting back to normal is something to look forward to, depends a lot on just what's normal. You see, many people don't have a very pleasant normal. We can think of all kinds of normals, bad and good. But the one that I'd like to think about with you for a moment this morning is the Christian normal, as described in this morning's scripture reading and other texts too. Now, it's not horrible, of course. After all, we're talking about the children of God. But it's not easy either. In fact, St. Paul described his normal as being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice of the Philippians' faith. And that's probably a reference to the martyrdom that he expected as a result of his missionary work. But the apostle was actually pouring out his life for many years before its end. Indeed, ever since the Lord had converted him. Just remember how Paul described his life in 2 Corinthians. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. Whipped, beaten, assaulted by stones, shipwrecked, in constant danger, hungry, cold, and to top it all off, the daily pressure of anxiety for all the churches. That was the apostles' normal. But it didn't have to be that way, you know. He could have had a much better normal than that. When Paul was a young man, he had really quite good prospects. Not only a Roman citizen by birth, but also obtaining a quality rabbinical education, it's no wonder that the Jewish leadership in Jerusalem put him to work as chief persecutor of that upstart Christian religion. And then they trusted him to extend their efforts to far-off Damascus. He was a young man on the rise in the Jewish community. So what happened to transform Paul's life and future? Well, you know, he became a Christian. Now, of course, it took a special intervention by the risen Savior to bring about Paul's conversion, but it happened. Paul changed sides from persecutor to apostle. And what about his material prospects then? Well, as we've just seen, they changed dramatically too, and not for the better. Now, obviously, Paul was a special case. God doesn't call everyone to be an apostle to the Gentiles, but our Lord does say to every Christian, take up your cross and follow me. Now, that's a striking image for the Christian life, a cross, and not an especially attractive one. But neither is Paul's description of Christianity and the Christian life in this text. Work out your own salvation, he says, with fear and trembling. Now, the apostle is not saying, you have to save yourself. God won't do it. Quite the contrary. God has done it. You've been redeemed. You've been forgiven. That's what Jesus' cross and empty tomb actually mean. But what this text is saying is that God's not finished with you yet. For, he explains, it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, way too often, both then and now, Christians act as if salvation is simply a past event. The cross, the empty tomb, even my baptism, all in the past, and really all not that relevant to the way I live now. Now, of course, all those past events do put me into a very nice position with God. I can call on him when I need him. I have the forgiveness of sins, so I don't have to worry about death, going to heaven, eternal life, none of that. They're all there just waiting for me. But otherwise, my faith doesn't seem to make very much difference in my life. It certainly is not making any demands on me. My normal, therefore, means that I can spend my time pretty much like everyone else, going after my agenda, whatever it happens to be. Maybe looking for pleasure, or at this time in life, maybe just trying to get relief from pain. Maybe making money. Maybe satisfying ambition. There are all kinds of things that I want, just like the world, and I'm not going to let my Christianity stop me. Oh, maybe I need to avoid ethical lapses of the scandalous type. That's the first use of the law kicking in. But that's about it. And it certainly does not mean getting so far out of line with the world's normal that anybody is going to actually notice mine. Now, of course, you don't have to read very far in the Bible to realize how foolish, how stupid that is. Today's text is hardly unique, and right after the apostle's admonition to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, he goes on to explain, do everything without complaining or arguing. Let that one sink in. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault. Now, this kind of life is not going to save you, but you don't need saving. But it will characterize your life, because this is the way that God's children live. This is the way that Christians live. And where do they live it? Well, what is the context for such a life? Well, it's not in going underground. It's not in hiding. The apostle reminds us that Christians live in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation. Now, I'm sure we don't have to elaborate on that particular description, but we do need to remind ourselves that it is not the job of Christians to lay low, to hide themselves, to escape the world's notice. In our world, just as in Paul's world, the Roman world of Caligula and Nero, Christians, he says, quoting again, are to shine like stars in the universe as they hold out the word of life. Now, that's the same word that we hold on to personally, but now the apostle reminds us that we are to extend that word, the gospel, good news of Christ crucified and risen again, extend that to others in the midst of a crooked and depraved generation. Now, that's a normal life for a Christian. And who knows how it will end? A crooked and depraved generation may not just appreciate it very much. And after all, Paul did end up a martyr. But even so, he urged that kind of normal upon the Philippians because he was looking past this life and instead to the day of Christ, when the presence of the Philippians with our Lord would show that he had not wasted his time on them. And you know what? I think that Paul will feel the same way when he discovers that his epistle came down to us as a reading in this morning service. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.